Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This week, we're talking about a massive car theft ring and why one state is raising its speed limits, plus a popular enthusiast loophole that's being closed and signs that chaos is on its way for the car market. But first, a big update on everyone's favorite car game. It's Grand Theft Auto 6. Welcome back to the Big Three.
Not my favorite car game.
Welcome to the Big Three, everybody. My name is Nolan Sykes. I'm joined, as always, by Joe G. Weber.
Sup?
The G stands for Grand Theft, and Bart Bidlingmeyer.
The B stands for Bart.
How are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I went to Universal Studios yesterday. Hey. My family was in town.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Front of line pass?
No, honestly, the lines were like not that long, so it didn't really matter. It was fine.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. Did you meet one of the minions?
We went on the Minions ride. I got turned into a Minion. Mm-hmm. They're building a Fast and Furious roller coaster there.
Yeah, they got rid of, they had the Fast and Furious
virtual thing on the studio tour, and now it's a King Kong deal.
Well, it was, they had both.
They had both. Oh.
Yeah, but they shut down the...
Okay.
It's like a white track, right?
It's a gray track, which I thought, like, it's a roller coaster. It's got, maybe they need to paint it or something.
Is it supposed to be like a road?
It's probably just primer.
It's like a gray. I feel like the neon green that the Eclipse in the first movie had would be a great color for a roller coaster track, you know?
Yeah, that would be.
But it has like this brick building, I assume, like a warehouse. I assume they're going to have some cars in there while you're waiting in line. But it's a gray track right now. It looks sick though. Like it goes kind of like down the hill.
Yeah.
Like next to the escalators and all that.
Oh, wow.
It's That's pretty cool. sick. It's going to be, I think, pretty gnarly when they open that thing up next year.
Yeah. So much torque, it twists the chassis off the line.
That's right. That's right. So that's me, Universal, big fan.
Yeah, it's a fun park.
Bart, what'd you do?
I went to the beach for Mother's Day.
Where the sand meets the sea, as they say.
Who says that? people talk about the beach.
Yeah, beach enthusiasts.
Anyways, so no, I went to where the sand meets the sea.
Yep.
and my wife put the, you know, this, here, let me get your back, right? Great. And then I turn around and she goes, I am red from here to here.
Nice.
On your back?
No, on my tum-tum.
Oh, you didn't do your stomach?
She did this to my front. And
I don't like
missed
the,
some.
I don't like the spray stuff. I'm a lotion guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I next.
That's
time,
also kind of on
time.
You. You saw Look, what she did.
I just like this. The whole thing. It
you
felt
close
cool.
your eyes.
Yep. Because then it gets in your. It's windy and it gets in your eyes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, anyways.
So if I went, it would hurt.
Not. I mean, I've had worse.
Yeah.
It's not. I had a buddy in college, Charlie Miller. I don't know if he watches this, but he had. Like he's wearing sandals and he got sunburnt, and when we got to college, he had just like a big like water pack, like that because it swelled and it never popped.
Oh,
and he was just like, and it like jiggle like a waterbed.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was horrible, but it was very funny.
That's gnarly.
It was disgusting.
And Joe, how was your weekend?
Pretty gnarly. Good. We had opening day for my baseball team. Mark, our editor, is a manager. We were in like a rebuilding phase.
Mm-hmm. Your owner's investing in the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We low key got the best new prospects. And Tim, our old merch guy from Donut, mm-hmm. made at least two amazing catches and raked. So I'm super happy that we went from being like in really low in the standings to contenders. I think we're going to be really good this year. So
oh, yeah, dude.
But having not ran for a whole year and then sprinting multiple times the fastest I could, my hips and my core really hurt right now.
Yeah.
But also last week, we did some really cool stuff to my Z.
That's right. We kind of alluded to this, I think, last week's episode, but we went through your car.
So the whole premise of the video, which drops on May 31st, is that they are doing kind of a queer eye for the straight guy thing, but with my car. Gear eye for the car guy was the pitch that I think we came up like 3 years ago or whatever. So they surprised me. They should have asked me literally any questions about my car beforehand, because that would have helped, you know, inform us during the week.
They wanted to surprise you.
They wanted really to surprise me.
Surprise you, yeah.
But
sorry, no, but you're right.
But they
you're very right. Yeah,
apparently, they scouted my car beforehand, and Jimmy was like, "No, it's great." And they didn't. I don't think they popped the hood or anything. So it had 41-year-old tubing and vacuum hoses in it. So, there's a lot of scrambling last week to be like, why won't it start? Why won't it idle? Why won't it run? And then we, like, a lot of that actually came down to we thought the coil pack was all right, or the coil itself.
Yeah.
It fed the distributor cap.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, we tested it. It was sparking great. And then it died in the alignment shop parking lot.
Yeah.
And Marco at Songs Alignment in Hawthorne was like a godsend. He was like, yeah, I used to work on these. Let me mess around with it. He Mickey Moused a little coil and it started up, idled perfectly, ran perfectly from then on.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it in retrospect, testing the coil and seeing it spark like that, I think must have been pretty lucky.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing
no.
the rest of the time, basically. Yeah, and thanks to Marco. But dude, once the car got to the out to the track, it ran so good.
Ran perfect.
That thing is awesome.
The it never overheated or even got close to overheating.
No.
We pushed it to its limit. Well,
we don't know that because we don't know if your temp gauge works.
Push it to the limit.
Yeah.
But it didn't overheat.
Yeah. An appropriate song. Probably came out the same year as my car. But yeah, it's running really good. It's got Enki comps on it. They just
coilovers.
Some coilovers. They just presented me with like a new steering wheel, which is amazing. Yeah.
I love that car now.
It's cool. Really fun to drive, and I'm excited to take it to the track now.
Yeah. So keep an eye out for that video. Really excited. And all I that car is really fun, dude. I'm really happy.
It's so fun. I've been so scared to like drive it.
You didn't want to break it.
I didn't want to break it. It has 217,000 miles on the clock now.
It has a lot of miles.
It has a lot of miles, but it doesn't feel like it.
It
like,
doesn't. The interior,
engine feels really peppy.
Yeah, the engine feels pretty strong. I mean, we beat on that thing pretty hard all day.
Time after time.
And then the interior, all correct. All complete. The interior, it's a nice car. I think what I would do next is maybe take it to a Z shop and just have them go through it and look for those things that we had no idea to even think of.
Well, there are some clips that are just like cut off and have or electrical like tape.
Or a screw stuck in one of the vacuum hoses. That's always a good thing
stuff
to
like
find.
That. I would have them look through it and just enjoy it and have fun because it's a really fun car.
Yeah, cool. It's super fun. So watch out for that video.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Now back to the show.
All right, let's get into some news. Last week, Rockstar dropped the second trailer for the highly anticipated Grand Theft Auto 6. You guys were just watching it before we got started here. Yeah,
I've seen it a couple times.
Are you guys excited? Because I know I am.
It looks sick.
It does look awesome. I always get excited for any GTA, and I've been around for all of them. So,
oh, yeah.
Sorry to date myself, but...
Are you kidding? I'd date you in a heartbeat. are you talking about the first Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah, the top.
Or the overhead, the top overhead, down.
Yeah. I used to play that.
I did too.
Really?
Yeah, a bootleg.
I remember in elementary school, my friend lent me Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, and he had like a full sheet of the cheats in there. But my parents really did not want me to be playing San Andreas. So I'd be playing it after school, and then when I saw my parents pulling into the driveway, I would scramble to get the disc out of the mm-hmm. console and hide the disc in my room.
And bring out your Bible and be like,
yep.
Oh, just reading my chicken noodle Genesis. Soup.
Yeah. My
this kid's always on Genesis. Why is he
not a very attentive reader? No, the game looks awesome. The Drive, I think they put out an article last week about all the different cars that they mm-hmm. spotted just in that trailer.
There's like a donk looking one.
Yeah. Side by sides, quads and stuff. Well, they've had quads in the game before, but yeah, side by side look pretty fun.
There's no like hypercars yet.
Yeah,
that we saw.
It takes place in like Miami.
Yeah, so there's gotta
bound
be some.
To be. Yeah. If I know anything about Miami.
A lot of times we describe new startup or like hypercar startups or vaporware or whatever mm-hmm. as like Grand Theft Auto looking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because they look like a bunch of different types of cars, probably to skirt like copyright issues.
What's your favorite Grand Theft Auto car?
I love the Viper one, whatever that's called.
The Banshee.
I love the Banshee.
I love when in Grand Theft Auto 5 when you are playing as Michael and you have to drive his daughter's Mini Cooper mm-hmm. everywhere for a few jobs.
Oh, that is really fun. Yeah. The Cheetah is also very fun. The Cheetah was like the Lotus or something, or the Ferrari.
What was the Mini Cooper called?
The Mini Cooper that no one was talking about was called the Weenie Issa, which our producer Audrey just told us is a wink to Alec Issigonius, who is the original designer of the Mini. Issigonius, I got that wrong. But that's really cool. That's a little nugget that's for
but
car
it is,
guys.
You, really you cool. can tell that the cars in the game are for people who like cars.
Oh, absolutely.
It's
like, yeah.
Oh, it's cool.
And I think with the really, I mean, over the course of GTA 5's like development and updates, like they really leaned into like including a ton of car nerd kind of cars, you know, like
yeah.
I think the AE86 is in there under a different name.
There's like a 964 looking 911.
Yeah.
The Fister Comet. That the Comet is really fun to drive too.
Yeah. So real world manufacturers don't include their car in Grand Theft Auto for obvious reasons, but GTA developer Rockstar is pretty great at giving us clones of them. The new game has mainstays of the series like the Dodge Viper based Banshee, the Porsche 911 inspired Fister Comet, and the Coquette, which is a Corvette. But there's also new to the game cars like the Ford F-150 Raptor clone called the Caracara 4x4. You have a Ford Ranchero based Vapid Ute.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Plus several unnamed knockoffs of cars like the Lamborghini Aventador and the Porsche Cayman. I am very excited for this game.
Yeah. I'm going to go to that spray shop, get some iridescent blue.
Hell yeah, dude.
You know how your boy do.
That's right. So the game is now set to drop on May 26th of next year. Over in New York City, some real-life Grand Theft Auto is going down. On May 8th, news broke that 20 people based in Queens were indicted for their involvement in a car theft ring. The indictments came at the end of a three-year-long investigation by the NYPD called Operation Hellcat.
That's a little on the nose.
Which got its name from the investigation being kicked off by reports of stolen Dodge Hellcat.
That could have that cover could have been blown so easy. Why didn't they call it something like Operation GTA?
You're worried they had somebody inside the department. Hey, ooh, guys, what's this Operation Hellcat thing?
Yeah,
it's nothing, Gary.
It's like when we did Operation Purple Cars to fix up Joe's car.
Yeah. And I was like, whoa, there's three hosts on this and it's a week long build.
According to the Queens District Attorney's website, the theft ring was charged with stealing 126 cars, quote, from Hondas to Dodge Hellcats to BMWs, Mercedes-Benzes, and Land Rovers throughout the New York City.
Is this just a chop shop operation?
Throughout New York City and its suburbs.
That seems silly to me.
The total value of the stolen vehicles.
It's like when you see when your bike gets stolen and then you see it on Marketplace.
Actually, one of our friends, Redpath.
It happens all the time.
Zach Redpath.
Like, that's my, like, what are these guys doing?
His bike got stolen and then he found it on Facebook. Yeah. He went to go meet up with the seller and then just rode off.
Let me test drive it. Yeah.
And just rode off.
That's how you do it.
The total value of the stolen vehicles is estimated to be at least $4.6 million.
Wow. That's a lot of cars.
The stolen cars were then sold through social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram. Undercover cops were able to get court-authorized wiretaps to track the ring down, and they ended up buying 44 of the stolen vehicles.
Oh, imagine buying a Range Rover off of Instagram.
Yeah.
What the hell?
It's crazy. It was reported that right after being stolen, the cars would be parked on the street with stolen or fake plates while the crew worked to find and disable the tracking systems to ensure that if the cars had tracking systems enabled, it wouldn't lead the cops to one of the thieves.
All they have to do, if they're trying to disable the tracking or the alarm and stuff, all you have to do is, with both hands, pick up the car and hold it at a 30-degree angle. Boop,
and then it
just like
turns
Vin Diesel
off.
Did.
Yeah.
It turns off.
I should have paid more attention.
Disables it.
New York City actually has a really big fake plate problem in which people use temporary paper license plates from other states like New Jersey to avoid tolls and parking tickets.
I don't know. I think it's pretty hilarious that you'd steal a car and then sell it on a marketplace like that.
I guess it's because like I want to do things by the book and have papers in hand and have my papers in order. But if someone's buying a car off of Facebook or Instagram, and the car doesn't have the title or anything like that, do people just wing it? Are they just like paying for a car and just hoping that?
I think there are a lot of impulsive people that are just like, I got
to
get this.
This
car.
Is my chance and to get a Hellcat for 30 grand.
They look past all the red flags. Okay. I've done it before with not stolen cars, but like.
No title. I don't know where the title is.
Disregarded all these red flags because I was like, this is a great deal. And I'd be dumb to not. Jump on it. And then the seller also knows that. So they're like, well, I got like three other guys looking at it. So make up your mind. And
fair
it,
enough.
But yeah, I bought a salvaged 330 CI. And I was like,
was that the blue one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had this dream to bring it back to like a clean title. It was $1,500. It rode well for a long time. And then I was like, there's no way I'm never going to bring it back.
How would you get a clean title on a salvage title car,
I mean, unsalvage it.
How would you do that?
I can fix him.
Yeah, but like you can't, once a car's salvage title, it becomes fraud.
You know what he meant. He didn't mean get a not have a salvage title. He meant make it like a decent car. Yeah.
Get it fixed and then bring it back to road legal.
We drove it a few times. It was pretty nice, right?
Yeah. At nighttime with the lights off.
No, we drove it during the day.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. It drove well.
It was fine.
And then I had too many electrical demons to figure out. So I was like, meh.
There was, this is going to be a digression. I don't know if you guys have seen it or if you guys have seen it. But it was like a weird, like, you know how 60 Minutes will sometimes do a weird digression thing? There's a guy in New York who just goes around being like, it's a fake plate. And then like ripping them off.
Really?
The fake, yeah. Anyways, you guys haven't seen it. You guys don't know this guy.
That's pretty brazen.
Yeah, but anyways, I'll look it up and I'll share it with you. But like, it's like a really weird but very entertaining dude.
He's like a cart narc for.
And they're like, "Why are you doing this?" And he's just kind of like, "Hey, people got to follow the rules," kind of thing. Like,
yeah. Super citizen.
I see where he's coming from. I feel like there's
especially in New York. It's like, well, look, I can't park here if you're parking here, and you don't even have a registered plate. So get out of here, buddy.
Fair. Fair enough. But also, like, how does that guy not get his ass kicked constantly?
There's an element of New Yorker where you can be not a large person, but still get people not to fight you because you're just that mental. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's one of those types. A little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, what? What?
Yeah.
That kind of.
Like the guy who doesn't want wants the saxophone player to stop playing.
I haven't seen that one.
Remember that guy?
Was there like in the subway or something?
It's in like a public space, but this guy's playing a saxophone, and this guy in a really shiny shirt, little short guy, comes up. I'll show it to you afterwards.
All right.
Speaking of fake plates, New York City actually has a really big fake plate problem in which people use temporary paper license plates from other states like New Jersey to avoid tolls and parking tickets.
But that's related to what we were saying, how they park the cars in fake plate. And so you wouldn't, it's almost like you don't think twice if you see a fake plate.
No,
you don't. So these guys were way under the radar anyway.
In Milwaukee, you'd see a bunch of cars driving around with like a hand-drawn LAF license applied for. Piece of paper, and it's like you didn't apply for anything.
Speaking of loopholes, there are tons of registration loopholes car enthusiasts have been known to exploit, and one of the most popular is getting cracked down on.
We'll be right back after these messages.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Now back to the show.
If you've been to a car show at any point in the last few years, chances are you've seen a car with Montana plates, despite living nowhere near Montana. This is because of a loophole car owners have been exploiting to dodge sales tax and emission tests.
Well, it's sales tax years on other cars too, not just Dodges.
It works like this. You set up an LLC in Montana. It costs about $1,000 and you don't need to be a resident to do so. You then buy a car and register the asset or the car to your phony Montana-based business. It's really popular for two reasons. One, Montana does not levy sales taxes on these types of transactions for LLCs, and Montana doesn't have state inspections or emissions checks.
So what they're cracking down on is this loophole to get a plate.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of expats, the older, you know, 60s, 70-year-old folks in Ensenada with Montana plates.
Really?
Yeah. But for this reason, because it's like, well, I'm just going to live in Mexico. I'm not going to go back to the United States to get this checked. So I'll get it from Montana. And some of them are doing it, I think, with P.O. boxes.
Yeah.
I think you can just get a P.O. box. I don't think you actually have to have.
So I don't know if that loophole is going to be closed.
Yeah. Just
so
to clarify,
the other states are looking for Montana plates and being
California is cracking down hard.
Yeah. You see this very often in California, especially in L.A., where, you know, you'll see a Lamborghini with Montana plates, or a lot of times like
New Hampshire,
also New Mexico,
Vermont. Sorry.
Yeah. So when you do see a McLaren 720S with California plates or something, you're like, oh, that guy's actually balling. Doesn't even care about the sales tax.
Oh, that's Joe Budden.
Yeah, exactly. So average Joes like you and I and Joe.
Above average. This Joe's an above average Joe.
Can benefit from this by maybe keeping an older car on the road or not having to get that $5,000 K truck, a $10,000 carb legal conversion. But some rich guys are also using the loophole to do what they do best, avoid paying taxes. Now, all this might be coming to an end. Utah and California are leading the way on passing bills aimed at catching people using the loophole and penalizing them with back taxes.
I bet there's a bunch of off-roaders that in Utah that register in Montana.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, yeah. Especially with the emissions-free thing, too. That's the other thing. Just supercars, but Jimmy doesn't do this, but, you know, people that I've seen Jimmy's friends
who may or may not have a cat on their car.
Yeah, it's very popular for like tuned cars to have this too. So if you see like a 1,000 power Supra rolling down the street in LA and it's got a Montana plate, you know why. It's because that thing would never pass smog. Yeah, but Montana, no smog. So they call it the Big Sky State because
there
smog
is no smog.
It just dissipates into the big sky.
Right around Kanye's ranch.
Yeah. Montana has more registered cars per resident than any other state with 2.68 vehicles per person. Got four cars. Yeah, so the state's population is 1.14 million people. There are 9 U.S. cities and 42 states with larger populations. So if the cops see a McLaren Senna with Montana tags at Pebble Beach this year, it's probably not a stretch to assume what's going on. They didn't drive it down from Billings.
Well, if it's in Pebble Beach for a show, then there's a good chance that they have another house out in Montana.
Yeah, they got a ranch maybe.
But I don't think there's going to be a lot of like state refs on going around Pebble Beach. Or
we'll see.
What
we'll
do I know?
See.
You
know? I don't know. Probably not. You're
Nolan's,
right.
Nolan's going to be policing.
Yeah, I'm going to be undercover. With
he's
going to
be
ref.
The guy ripping licenses
off. Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's real, but I got to take it.
However, Montana is low-key a car paradise if you actually live there. It's easy to get a tax break, and there's no emissions checks, like we mentioned. They also have some of the nation's highest highway speed limits at 80 miles per hour. And I actually read that, like, because of that, there's also a lot of deaths on Montana.
Oh,
highways.
Yeah. Dude, single-lane highways
at 80
late
miles
at night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lax attitudes around drinking and driving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so take it easy. However, pretty soon, you won't have to slow down when you cross the state line. Last week, North Dakota became the 9th state to adopt a maximum highway speed of at least 80 miles per hour. The other states are Montana, Idaho, Nevada, Utah, Wyoming, South Dakota, Oklahoma, and Texas. Texas takes the crown for the highest speed limits in the U.S. with a single state toll road boasting a limit of 85 miles per hour.
I think I was on that.
I was driving through Texas a few years ago and going into the state, I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be easy. Like all the highways have a super high speed limit.
It's so big.
And then I was driving along. I was like, noticing all the speed limits were like 55, 60 miles an hour. I was like, what the hell is going on? I thought this was a free state here.
Yeah, but that was a school zone.
Well, no. What I had done is like months before, I had turned off toll roads on my map.
Oh, no.
So I was taking like long ass ways through Texas.
What the hell?
Missing all the fast freeways. Bummer. I felt like an idiot.
When did you figure it out?
When I got home.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It did suck, but it was a nice drive. Anyway.
Driving past all those cattle farms?
Well, it's not just cattle farms, but like taking highways through just like Texas is weird. We talked about this last week, but like Texan towns that are just like built along highways. So it's like you'll go from like 60 cruising along and then all of a sudden you have to like screech down to 25 miles an hour to go through town.
Yeah.
That really chewed up a lot of time. All the states that have the high speed limits have low populations and are big and open. So do these limits make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Here's one thing to consider, though, is we just talked about a state that doesn't do vehicle inspections.
Mm-hmm.
Some cars should not be going 85 miles.
I agree with that.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
I agree with that. Yeah. That's why I think we've talked about this a few times, but like going to Germany and driving on the Autobahn.
Yes.
Really opened my eyes because, like, yeah, it's a very restricted, like, you know, they don't even let you, like, lower your car
right.
in Germany.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's like
they have rules about everything.
Very stringent regulations. Yes.
And if you follow these things, you can be safe.
And you can drive on the Autobahn.
Yes.
And
at
the surface.
Not a right.
Exactly. Exactly, Bart. So, like, yeah. It's a privilege to drive on the Autobahn at unlimited speed, but they make sure that your car is capable of that. We do not do that here.
Right.
It's just like, hey, you want to go 85 and you're clapped out 93 Corolla with questionable rust and or bushings that
good
are completely toast.
Good luck to you and everyone else.
Yeah.
I saw, actually, me and Max and Christina saw a truck that had popped his tire. The tire was not even on the rim anymore.
Wow.
And it was fully locked up. And this guy was just still driving down the street, sparking. This was in like Compton or South Central or something. Just this truck going down the road, Mm-hmm. Like nothing was wrong.
Yeah, he's probably just trying to make it home, man. Yeah. He'll deal with that when he gets there. Yeah. Yeah.
Not saying that's legal, but like if you're also like we have so many trucks that have the really wide spacers mm-hmm. on in LA. That's like a huge trend. It probably is elsewhere.
Get
too,
a little bit of poke.
A little bit of poke on those tires, but those like if you don't do it right, those can just pop off.
Dude.
There's so many videos of like a wheel popping off, like that Kia.
That happened on the 118, a couple of years ago. That wheel flew, popped off, the spacer popped off that truck. The Kia Soul goes over the wheel,
20
gets launched
feet in the air. Then that poor schmuck is like, I don't know what's wrong with that dude now.
Well, and then there's also like knockoff wheels,
mm-hmm.
reps
on, that you will put on an overpowered car mm-hmm. that will just snap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And suddenly,
So
there's many things that can
Have fun, North Dakota, with that.
but luckily, there's like seven.
That said,
people there.
I would drive it. I would drive 90.
Yeah,
you're allowed, and also all the police say that you're allowed at least five miles per hour over.
Yeah, why not?
And while you're there, why not add the extra? Why not go six if they're not going to nab you for five? Great, 91.
So a Newsweek article quotes a study that says every 5 mile per hour increase in speed limits results in an 8.5% increase in fatalities on freeways.
I take back what I said. That's a lot.
That's
8.5% of fatalities.
So is it incrementally like you add 8.5 and it's a linear, they can track linearly.
Wow.
My God.
Oof.
Yeah. So that's pretty gnarly. I feel like when I was younger, I used to read about deadly car crashes in the newspaper a lot more often.
What were your parents having you read?
I would read the newspaper every morning.
And it was just car crashes.
It was a lot of car crashes. It was a lot of
you
car
were,
crashes.
You had, in Slow, in they Sam. Had a they had a special section that was...
I don't think it was a special section.
You got to the car crash
this
section.
I mean, it's totally anecdotal, but I just feel like when we were younger...
There were more fatal crashes.
Yes.
Yes, that's definitely
But now,
true.
I mean, people are driving faster. They're more distracted by their phones or whatever.
But that's another thing. You're never going to see somebody on their phone in the Autobahn. You know what I mean? Like, see people on their phones all the time.
Yeah.
Anyways.
The car market is showing signs of heating up. This past week, Ford announced that starting July 5th, it would be raising prices on all of its vehicles built in Mexico, including the Bronco Sport, Maverick, and Mustang Mach-E. An internal dealer memo mentions hikes as much as $2,000.
That's lower than I thought.
But still, on a Bronco Sport, $35,000 car, now it's a $37,000 car. Like,
yeah,
that's
but think of
price,
the percentage of the tariffs are more than, 10%?
Yeah. The warning signs aren't just coming from Ford either. Jeep has announced that the new Compass is delayed in the U.S. until 2026.
No!
And as you might have guessed, both companies are citing tariffs as the reason why. Now, we're not going to get into the specifics of how tariffs work because
we don't understand it.
And they change literally every minute they change.
Yes, that's right. But if you're more interested, we do have a video on our main channel. So check that out.
It's already out of date.
These are small issues at best right now, but could be a sign of things to come. A lot of manufacturers have speculated on what they might do, but these are some of the first announcements of real prices in response to the tariffs. Gentlemen, your thoughts, please.
I'm tired of I hate to do this, and I know this is a thing that we're supposed to talk about, but I'm just tired of talking about it.
It's a lot.
Because it keeps changing,
mm-hmm.
and then you keep hearing alarmist bells go off, and then everybody's like, no, I guess we were wrong. And I'm not really... All the cars where it's like, oh, this is going to cost $50,000 mm-hmm. more or whatever, I'm not buying that car.
Yeah, I was never going to buy it in the first place.
So It's annoying and it sucks up a lot of oxygen.
Yeah. Which is what he
wants.
And
it's like, we have to talk about it.
That's
I get that. And it's people want to know what's going on, but the answer keeps being like, well, no one's really sure. You call all the, And because again, it just changes a bunch.
I think you're right. Like, nobody's really sure. And we won't know until we'll wake up one morning and then we'll go on Car Gurus and all of a sudden every car is like 10,000 more.
And it's
just like how COVID was.
We're not gonna, this is one of those things where we're gonna be able to look back and say, oh, remember when that happened? Here's why and what happened and how it ran its course. And you can't do that right now yet.
Because
we're just on the front of it.
Yeah. The thing I mean, obviously the car market, pretty important to the U.S. economy, but something that I wish we got into more detail on in our tariff video a couple of weeks ago is the effect on like the aftermarket. Because I mean, you know, we've met a lot of people, we've worked with a lot of people here who rely on importing either components or product full stop from Asia to to power their business, you know. And even if, let's say, an aftermarket company is fully based in Japan and everything's based made in Japan, having any sort of tariffs on that will affect their performance here in the U.S. market.
It was a great live album too, by the way, from Iron Maiden.
Made in Japan.
It was.
But, you know.
no one's arguing, dude.
Yeah. That's what I'm concerned about is the effect on the aftermarket.
But also the effect on people that you know, which I think is.
Well, that's what I mean by that. It's like people that are linked to the aftermarket, people that either work for
these
companies.
It's the personal connection that you're more worried about than it is the larger car. Yeah, I agree.
Exactly.
I agree with you.
Well, this now marks the third time that my Jeep Compass order has been delayed. So I'm like, what do I even...
Yeah.
Do I want an Outer Lands edition or should I just settle for like whatever's on the lot?
Yeah.
Do I drive a base Jeep Compass?
Please don't. That's so not you. You're an above average Joe.
Primer gray Jeep Compass.
Battleship gray Jeep Compass.
Hell yeah. Sahara edition.
Anyway, we will keep our eye on the story and keep you guys updated on how this is going to affect the used car market as well.
And we'll be, I mean,
going forward.
Those things, those trends are going to be things that we'll be able to pick up on pretty quickly. We're not there yet.
No. But
when things start climbing, you're going to know it pretty quick.
Or if
for whatever reason, if it goes the other way and we all get lucky, we'll know that too.
We'll all be driving Jeep Compasses.
I think kind of silver lining to all this though is people are going to glom onto like the reliable used cars right away.
Mm-hmm. So that we can snatch up the unreliable
ones.
Yeah, we always do.
But because of that, like the 7 Series or like these like luxury cars from 10 years ago are severely undervalued and they haven't hit that peak yet. And so I saw a clip from Doug DeMuro's podcast. There's, you know, you can get like a 2017 12-cylinder 7 Series for like $40,000 with low miles. Not that you'd want, that's
that
not
a
reliable
like a terrible
car.
Idea.
Right.
Still,
it might not be the one to get, but you're saying
you can
get a reasonably priced car.
I mean, that thing probably retails
to
like $120,000.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
And it's not, I wouldn't say it's like, I can't speak to its reliability, but a 12-cylinder is just like more room for error.
More parts. More things moving.
But it's not like, we're not like talking about a 2006 Maserati where you're going to have to spend like insane amounts to completely overhaul the car.
Yeah.
But I think as enthusiasts, that's a fun silver lining to be like, I know something you guys don't know. And it's this.
Nah, I got something to tell you.
Yeah. Exactly.
That is our show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Give us a like or follow or a review on the platform of your choice, whether you're watching this on YouTube or listening on Spotify or our iTunes pod or Apple Podcasts or
your Zune
Stitcher or your Zune. Yeah.
LimeWire.
Zunes are sick, dude. My friend Haley had one. It was super cool.
Napster.
Check out our other podcast, Past Gas. It's a history podcast. This week, we're talking about Edelbrock. That was a really fun one.
That was super fun.
That was a cool story.
Edelbrock.
We talk about Edelbrock Senior and Junior.
Performance parts.
It's a great story. You should definitely check it out. It's a lot of fun. We've been having a lot of fun over there in Past Gas.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing to do in the week.
Is it really?
This, yeah. I go to the office. I literally, every time I come into the office, is Chipotle.
Past Gas in a different sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Follow us at Donut Podcasts and our personal accounts. You got Bids Bardo for Bart, Joe G. Weber for Joe. You can see his little baby.
It's not real.
The baby's not real?
No, I just bit this car.
Why did you bit it? Isn't it wax?
Yeah.
Those teeth marks are going to be there forever. You can follow me at Nolan J. Sykes.
We can get a hair dryer. We'll buff right out.
Good idea. Me at Nolan J. Sykes if you'd like. Big thanks to the crew. As always, Mark, Audrey, and Edgar over there on the other side of the camera. And with that, see you next time. Bye.
Bye.